Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
In or out? In Europe, out of Europe. Whichever way it goes will make absolutely no difference to the purpose of God for this nation. God will work his purpose out, and he is much greater than any decisions of men. Amen. But we have a much more important consideration. Whether we as a nation are in or out of Europe, as important as that seems politically, the burning issue is whether people are in the kingdom of God or out of the kingdom of God. Because that is just as clear-cut an issue. Either people are in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, or they're outside of the kingdom of God. We have this great commission from God as his church to proclaim the gospel, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God. His purpose for our lives is to live as those who belong to the kingdom and to seek to be extending the kingdom of God by seeing more and more people's lives come under the sovereign rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Now, this week, we as a church begin the reading of John's Gospel. This is my favorite book in the Bible, as some of you have been students at the college will know. The students have about 30 lectures in the first two terms of the first year, taking everybody through this Gospel in detail. It is such a wonderful, wonderful revelation from God. But I'm just going to tell you a few things that will help you in the reading of this gospel, because you've got to approach it in a totally different way from reading the other gospels. The three other gospels aim at giving us something of a historic record, a chronological account of the life and the ministry of Jesus. John has got no interest in doing that. This is not a chronological account of Jesus' ministry. He doesn't say why he wrote the gospel until the very end of chapter 20. He says there that, you know, if everything about Jesus was written down, how could the world contain all the books that would be written? But what he is saying is, I have written this account in order that people may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and receive the life that he came to give. So the whole of this gospel from the beginning is a revelation of who Jesus is. This is why it is such a wonderful portion of Scripture. So in the other Gospels, nobody is quite sure, apart from John the Baptist, as to who Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry. There's a gradual unfolding until fairly late on in his ministry, Jesus asks the question of the disciples at Caesarea Philippi, who do men say that I am? And they trot out all the current theories, and then he says to the disciples, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God, you are the Messiah that we've been waiting for. And Jesus says, that's revelation that you've received from the Father in heaven. But John's approach is totally different. In fact, God arranged in his purpose for John to outlive all the other apostles and to write this gospel about 50 years after the resurrection. It was written then for very particular reasons, which there's no time to go into now. But right from the beginning, you see, he is concerned to reveal who Jesus is. There's no gradual unfolding. So he starts saying, he is the Word of God that brought all creation into being. The Word, the Creator, has become part of his creation. The one who created by saying, let there be light, is light, and the light has come into the world, that men may no longer walk in darkness. The Son of God has come to reveal the Father. So right from the beginning, he's saying all these things about who Jesus is, that he comes full of grace and truth, that he is the anointed Messiah, the Christ, the long-awaited one, the one anointed by the Spirit. He is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that God is making, is providing, so that salvation can come to mankind and it be possible for people to become part of the kingdom. He is the one who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. As John said, I only baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He is even right in the first chapter proclaimed as the King that has come from heaven, the King who is going to reign here on the earth. He has come to impart the gift of eternal life. And all this, John makes clear in the first chapter. He's not a historian. Although he was present at everything that Jesus said and did, he was not writing a historic account, a chronological account. He wants to reveal Jesus. He wants to say who he is. So in the second chapter, which you'll read tomorrow, he talks about the water being turned into wine, which isn't recorded in the other Gospels. This is not just a great, friendly, loving thing that God did because the wine ran out at the wedding. This is a highly significant event because it shows that the old wine, which was good, has run out. The old law, the old covenant is ending. Jesus has come to establish the new covenant, the new wine. And when you taste the new wine, it is so much better than the old. And then John goes in and talks about the cleansing of the temple. Now, we know historically that happened right at the end of Jesus' ministry, just before the crucifixion. But he's a preacher. John is a preacher. And preachers don't give you a chronological historic account of Jesus when they preach. They take one account of this account, they put it together to reveal who Jesus is and to say what they want to say. So right at the beginning, John brings this cleansing of the temple to show to people Jesus has come to establish the new covenant, which is so much better than the old. He's come to cleanse the temple, which has become so defiled. He's come to actually to establish God's kingdom purposes and holy purposes here on the earth. And so as you go on through chapter 3, where everybody knows that verse about Jesus coming to be the Savior of the world, he's come to save men from the condemnation that they deserve and to give them eternal life. You go on then, he explains the relationship between Jesus and the Father, and John is really saying all the way through this gospel, you can have the same relationship with Jesus that he had with the Father when he was here on earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying that for those who believe in Jesus, they become part of this kingdom. They are born again. They have this new life, born from above. Just as Jesus came from above, so those who belong to the kingdom are born from above. And those who do not have this birth cannot even see the kingdom of God. And then there's a key verse in chapter 5 where Jesus says, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned because he's already passed from death to life. Amen. So that is true for us here today. We who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we who believe that he is the Son of God, we have passed from death to life. Yeah. There is no condemnation for us. The old has gone. Even yesterday has gone. Today is a new day. We don't have to worry about tomorrow, but we live every day for itself. Tomorrow will look after itself when we come to tomorrow. Because we live in relationship with the God who has sent his Son in order to reveal the nature of the kingdom and to give us this precious gift of eternal life. And that's the phrase that John concentrates on. Whereas in the other Gospels, you hear about the parables of the kingdom. John doesn't actually use parables. All the time, he is expounding the teaching that Jesus gave about receiving the gift of eternal life, what that looks like as we live it out in this life, and what its eternal repercussions are for every one of us. It's amazing revelation. I really strongly suggest that you read it in the Truth Version. Read it with whatever other version as well, if you like, but read it in the Truth Version and read the notes that are at the bottom of the page in the study version, because it's, you know, we don't go through this gospel just as a religious act that we do as a church. But we want to feed on God's word. We want to understand the word. We want to receive the spirit and life that is in the word. So it's worth devoting some time to doing that, because it is such a wonderful gospel. Better still, come to the Bible College and you can hear all the lectures about John's gospel and fall in love with it. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that John says in this first chapter, when Jesus comes to where John the Baptist is baptizing, John the Baptist looks at Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." That was a totally outrageous statement. I don't suppose, you know, with all being in the open air with everybody around, it might have not have been something he shouted for everybody to hear. But he said it within the hearing of some of the disciples, of John's disciples, who of course became Jesus' disciples. It's an outrageous statement, because one thing, of course, that is absolutely forbidden in Judaism is human sacrifice. And here is John now proclaiming, here is a human sacrifice that God himself is supplying. Everybody would have understood the whole concept of sacrifice, because the whole worship of the temple was built around the sacrificial system. Here is the human sacrifice that God himself is prepared to make, none other than his own Son, in order that people may receive God's life, eternal life. And only through faith in him and in that sacrifice would anybody be able to receive this gift of eternal life. Outrageous. And yet we can look back upon the events of Jesus' crucifixion, of his whole passion and crucifixion, and we can praise God that through the Lamb of God, we became lambs of God. Lambs that have grown to maturity, sheep who know his voice and follow him. But we could not have become lambs of God if it wasn't for the Lamb of God. And this is the whole substance of Jesus' ministry. He comes in this first chapter, John the Apostle says, he comes full of grace and truth. That the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we know that later in this gospel, Jesus says that if you continue in the truth, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. You will be my disciples, and the truth will set you free. We've just been proclaiming the freedom of God. Well, it's all possible because of the sacrifice of the Lamb. Because God sent his Son to be that sacrifice. And then, still in this first chapter, John inserts a little bit of testimony, really, of what it was like to know Jesus and to walk with him while he was here on the earth. And he says, from his fullness, from the fullness of God's life that he had, from his fullness we all received grace upon grace. Some translations say one blessing after another, but the Greek actually says grace upon grace. That the experience of Jesus was people were receiving what he was wanting to give all the time. Grace is God giving everything to those who deserve nothing. And he said, this was our experience of Jesus, walking with the Son of God, walking with the Holy One, walking with the one who lived the life of God's kingdom in perfection. Our experience was he simply wanted to give to us. Out of his grace, although we could understand that we deserve nothing, every day was a day of grace. It was grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And so John emphasizes two things in the teaching of Jesus throughout this gospel. One is a faith in him, because that grace is released into our lives through faith. Paul, of course, says exactly the same thing, but puts it in a very different way. But nevertheless, he is preaching the same thing, faith in God's grace. Faith in God's willingness to give. Faith in his desire to bless his children. Faith that does not look at ourselves and our unworthiness to receive anything from God, but looks at God and his worthiness, his love. And that's the other theme that goes all the way through this gospel. Not only faith in him, but love for him. And so you come to that great climax, that time that Jesus spent with the disciples at the Last Supper. And you'll come to that in a couple of weeks' time. And that where Jesus is talking about living in him and he in his disciples, being branches of the vine. And there you have this new command. You are to love one another as I have loved you. That if God has so loved you by giving his Son for you, then you are to love one another in the same way that he has loved you. We have eternal life. It's the gift of those who have received salvation. But what is that life? You see, eternal life is not this life going on forever. Praise the Lord. Eternal life is God's life. Eternal life is the life of the kingdom of heaven. So you see, whether we're in or out of Europe is immaterial to our spiritual condition. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Whether you have a British passport, a European passport, if you know Jesus, you have an eternal passport. Hallelujah. So we are citizens of that kingdom. And therefore, Jesus is saying to the disciples, the life that I have come to give is within you. So he also says, the kingdom is there within you. The fullness of that life. And from that fullness, which he has already given, you can receive grace upon grace, one gift after another, God constantly wanting to bless and to pour Himself into your life. It's such a wonderful gospel that you wonder why not everybody in the world wants to believe it. But you see, right in this first chapter that you're reading today, if you haven't read it already, he came to his own, but his own received him not. The light came into the world, but men preferred the darkness because their deeds were evil. Darkness would hide their shame. The light would reveal their shame, but only so that they could then be forgiven and set free from all that had caused shame in their lives. All this, just in the opening chapter, it's like a whole gospel in itself. The wonderful, wonderful thing is that God has never come to the end of his giving to us. He's given us everything, and he wants to see that faith that sees all that he's given released into our lives. He wants us to understand that out of his love, he desires to withhold nothing from us. But while all this is true for us, what God is concerned about is that we are the light for the world. That we, as the body of Christ, are the salt of the earth. That we are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. That people will receive the life of the kingdom, eternal life, the light of Christ through the ministry of God's people. That everyone, every child of God becomes a witness of that life, of that light, of that love. Not all of us are evangelists. The scripture is clear about that. But all of us are witnesses. And you see, a witness is someone who answers questions. But beloved, your life has to reveal enough of Jesus to get them to ask the questions. So people need to see the love, the life, the servanthood of Jesus, his humility, because he has given us a heart after his own heart, a new heart. And there needs to be enough of Jesus about us that people say, what's so different about you? There's something different. They might not be able to identify it or know what it is. Or why don't you react negatively like other people react when there's problems, when there's difficulties? Why do you... I mean, they wouldn't use this language, but what they really mean is, why are you so merciful instead of withholding forgiveness? Why are you so forgiving instead of taking offense when something upsets you? Why do you respond and react so differently to problems? Why, if you get attacked by sickness or some other need, can you still be so positive and so joyful and so expectant? This is kingdom life here on earth. It's not living in unreality. It's expressing something of the reality of God's kingdom that is already within us. It's demonstrating that no matter what circumstances we're in, we're ruling and reigning. That the circumstances aren't governing us, but we're governing the circumstances. We are greater than the circumstances. the one within us is far greater than anything that could ever come against us. And that's why the scripture says that if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. It's not that he's fleeing from us so much as he's fleeing from the one to whom we've submitted ourselves, because he's got no answer to Jesus. He's got no answer to the devil. So here we are, a body of God's people, filled with his life, filled with his love, knowing the Lord, called by him to see the extension of his kingdom, because more and more people get touched by the revelation of the eternal life that we have. God's life. And so, right at the very beginning of the gospel, John says, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one of God. This is the one who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Meaning, this is the one who will anoint you with the same anointing that was on him. That's the import of Jesus being the one who baptizes in spirit. That anointing is the same anointing that was upon Jesus. It's that anointing that enabled Jesus to say, Christ in you. I will continue to live in you as you continue to live in me. How amazing is this gospel. All I'm laying before you this morning, in the way that I believe God led me to, simple, basic truths of our life together in Jesus. And there's just one more thing that we need to focus on before we come to the Lord's table this morning. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In that blood is victory. What appeared as Jesus hung on the cross to be defeat, the Son of God being put to death, turned out to be the very purpose of God, the very plan of God, to bring the victory of Jesus, to bring the victory of God into the lives of his people. And through the shedding of that blood, every sin can be forgiven, every disease can be healed, every need can be met. Nothing is impossible for those who believe in the power of that blood. Paul understood how powerful Holy Communion is. He says in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians that many are sick and some have died because they did not discern the body of Christ. In other words, when they were receiving these gifts, they never realized how powerful they were. They thought they were just receiving little bit of bread and a little sip from a cup. Whereas this was one of the channels that God was providing for that grace, his desire to give, his desire to bless, grace upon grace. That in the giving of his body is everything we need for the sustenance of our bodies, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, even physically. In the shedding of that blood is the meeting of every one of our needs. So, Paul says, when he's writing to the Corinthians, you read this last month, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you may be made rich. Now, by Jesus becoming poor, he doesn't mean that Jesus lived in poverty, but he came from the riches of heaven into the poverty of our humanity. He actually shared the ultimate poverty of death in order that through his poverty we might be made rich. The ability to make us rich, to possess eternal life, to possess all the life, the power, the love, the authority of the kingdom, cost the life, the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus. And what God is saying to you and to me this morning, is that that sacrifice was so costly, he doesn't want any of it wasted. Yeah. He doesn't want us simply to take hold of some of what he accomplished through that sacrifice. He doesn't want us just to take hold of the forgiveness. He says, I want you to take hold of everything that poverty took place to make you rich. So Paul also says, and you read this last month too in Corinthians, he has made you rich in every way. In every way. That's what he's looking for now. He's looking to see not poverty in your life. He's looking to see humility, because you have a heart after the heart of Jesus. Not pride and arrogance, self-determination. He wants to see the humility. But what he wants to see are the riches. He wants to see the riches of his life in you. He wants to see that you think riches, you speak riches, you act according to those riches. He says, I don't want the sacrifice of my son wasted. I don't want it to be partially believed. I want to see the fullness of that life reflected in my children and in my church. So I think, you know, we're all guilty of compromise, aren't we? To some extent, some more than others. But in the gospel of Jesus, in what he was teaching his disciples, there is no compromise. He is saying, it's all yours. Everything I have, all is yours. the fullness of my life, the fullness of my grace, the fullness of eternal life is yours now, not when you die physically, but because you have already passed from death to life. He who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned, but has already passed from death to life. That was the entrance scripture for the revival that took place when I was pastoring in 1970. That was key verse for everybody to understand. We have passed from death to life. There's now no condemnation from us. We're not listening to any of the accusations, lies, and condemning thoughts of the enemy. We're living in the riches. We're living in the fullness of the life that Jesus came to give us. And the important thing about communion, my friends, is that every time we receive these gifts, it's a lot of things, but it's a reminder from God, I have given you everything. Everything in Christ is yours. All the virtues of his body, all the virtues of his blood are yours, so that in your body now, you can experience the fullness of his life. In your life now, you can be a witness. You can live in the riches of who he is, because he became poor so that through his poverty, you would be made rich. So what a blessed and privileged people we are, aren't we? And it doesn't matter how many times you hear these basic truths of the gospel. It's always encouraging, isn't it? It's always faith building. It's all, you know, I think people say, oh, I needed to hear that. I knew it, but I needed to hear it again. I needed to be reminded that it's all mine. Why do I pray as if it's not mine? Why do I pray in such a way as if God's withholding something from me when all the time he has given me everything in his beloved Son? And I, by faith, can lay hold of it and make it my own. What a God. In or out? Well, Lord, what I want to do is to impact as many lives that are out so they come in to your kingdom. Never mind Europe, your kingdom. Amen? Because whether we're in or out of Europe, that's only going to last a few years. But whether you're in or out of the kingdom, that's for all eternity. So praise God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. If any of you thought, oh, in or out of Europe, he's going to tell us which way to vote. You're disappointed. I've got no concern about which way you vote. You vote whichever way you want to, every way you believe God wants you to. That's all you've got to do. But we've got more important issues on our minds this morning. Come on, let's just close our eyes and focus on the Lord before we come to the table. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the sacrifice, the human sacrifice that God himself provided. Thank you that you willingly became that sacrifice as you hung on the cross so that I might receive eternal life, that I might become part of your heavenly kingdom, that I might belong to you forever, that I might be made your child, that I might receive the fullness of your life, grace upon grace, that I might become a child of God, a child of light, a child of the truth, walking in the truth, knowing that you set me free from everything that comes against me. And I praise you, Lord. Come on, you just praise the Lord now. Those are truths for you too. Hallelujah. 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 As we come to the table this morning, I want you to understand this is a time of ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is going to minister to you this morning. If you've ever thought, oh, it must have been wonderful to be alive when Jesus was alive and to receive ministry from Him, something even more wonderful is going to happen this morning, because you are going to receive ministry from Him. He is coming to you as you come to Him. And He is imparting His life, His body, His blood to you. He's reminding you that everything that He is and has is yours. Just as we were reminded earlier in this meeting that everything you are and have is His. But we give our lives, poor and wretched as they are by comparison, and He gives us the fullness of His life, great and mighty and rich as it is. So I want you to receive these gifts. You know, it's nice when people pray for one another, but that's not the point. Communion isn't about praying for one another. Communion is about Jesus ministering to His children. So as you receive these gifts, I want you to realize that it's Jesus that is saying to you, "This is My body given for you. This is My blood shed for you. Drink, eat, and drink it in remembrance of Me, of who I am." And as you read through this gospel in the coming weeks, remember why He taught, why John wrote it, to reveal who Jesus is. And you're going to discover more and more of the Lord who is your Lord and of the life that He has imparted to you through Jesus. So let's just prepare our hearts to come to His table now. Just pray to Him. Be honest and true to Him. Perhaps you'll need to say to Him, "Lord, forgive me, because You supplied the fullness of Your riches, and really, I've only appropriated so little of what You came to give. And I want to appropriate more and more, so that more and more of Your life can be revealed through me, so I can be Your witness, so that people will ask the questions, which will give me the opportunity to very simply and truthfully speak about You and of Your love. So, Lord, we thank You that on the night that You were betrayed, You took bread. And when You'd given thanks, You broke it. And You said, "Take, eat, this is My body given for you." Do this in remembrance of Me. And likewise, after supper, He took the cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And through my poverty, I have made you rich. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to pass the gifts now. We're not going to have a lot of music. We're not going to have anything else. We're just going to understand that Jesus is in this room by the power of his Spirit. And he's now going to minister to you. We sang about chains being broken. Those chains are going to be broken off your life as you receive these gifts this morning. Anything that's been limiting you and chaining you, restricting you, anything you know is not God's purpose, the power of the body and the blood of Jesus comes to break that off your life this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
As you believe, so let it be. Just know that Jesus himself personally is ministering to you just as really as he ministered to the people that he met in his physical body. Now he meets with you in his risen, glorified being. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pass the gifts. Thank you, Lord, for miracles taking place as your children are ministered to you personally by you. Thank you for healing, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for freedom, coming into areas where people have been restricted. Thank you for light, coming into areas of darkness. That those areas of darkness will continue no longer in the lives of any of your children. Thank you, Lord, for your holiness impacting the life of every single child of God in this room. That this is holy communion, fellowship with the Holy One. Thank you that your holiness dispels the unholiness. Your righteousness overcomes unrighteousness. We thank you that there is no limitation to what you can do at this moment, in this hour, on this occasion, as you minister personally to each one of your beloved children. Thank you, Lord. Lamb of God. Holy Lamb of God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you that you take away the sins of every person in this room. Thank you that you heal our diseases. All week, the Lord has been witnessing this scripture to me and saying this is what He wants every one of us to live in. Some versions say praise the Lord. The original says bless the Lord. And when you bless the Lord, it's more than praising Him. When you bless the Lord, you do that which makes Him happy. You live to please Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, all the benefits of the cross, all the benefits of His Spirit, all the benefits of the promises of His Word, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. Come on, let's just speak out your words of praise and thanksgiving. Come on, we can make more noise than that. In heaven they shout His praises.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you've ministered to me this morning. Thank you, you've ministered your word, you've ministered by your spirit, you've ministered your life through communion to me. I thank you, Lord, that you've ministered your riches afresh. Grace upon grace has come into my life this morning, and I praise you and I bless you and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, this is true for every person in this room, and I give you glory. Thank you, Lord, you never come to the end of your giving. And I bless you and I praise you and I exalt you and I glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Now, thank you, Jesus. You send us out this week just to be your witnesses,
yes,
to love, to serve, to give, to bless, to encourage, to help, to do whatever you put before us to do. And we pray, Lord, that we would do these things with such grace and in such a way that people will ask the right questions so that we can give them the right answers.
Yes.
And we give you all the glory.
Yes. Yes.
In the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. Come on, great big shout of praise.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.